You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
You've been joining us throughout the last few months, I'd say. Gosh, it's been a while, actually. We've been through the book of Luke. Luke's a long one. And if you were here last Sunday, late 4th of July, by the way. Hope everyone was safe. No one blew off a finger or anything. Not that anyone lit off fireworks. Never mind. But if you were here for our barbecue last Sunday, it was such a blast. I think it was probably the most fun our family kind of got to have in a long time, just being able to be with a large group of people. I think it was the first time we've been with that many people and since COVID started. And it was so fun to get to watch our son just jump on the bounce house or run around and meet other kids. And if you didn't get a chance to eat one of those burgers from last week, Oswego Grill catered it, and they were some of like the best burgers I've ever had. It's one of those burgers that you see, and it looks just the same, if not better, than like the picture you get on the menu or the picture that you see of it. Like, we have this burger. It looks really, really delicious. And then you actually get it, and you're like, this looks better than what I was promised. It was so good. So good. Oswego Grill, guys, is so good to us. If you get a chance to go and get some of their food, it's delicious. If you don't know me, I guess I should have done this a while ago. If you don't know me, my name is Ryan Egli. I get to do all of our youth ministry and next gen ministry here with my wife, Sabrina. She's super cute. She's right over there. I don't think we can get a camera and a pan over there, so you'll have to come meet her in person if you're watching online. But we get the privilege to do all of our next gen, which means young adults, high school, middle school, all of that. And so it's fun, and like I even get to help with kids a little bit now with working with Renee First, who's phenomenal too. And I'm finally not in the category of what you would call next gen, because it's categorized in the Foursquare Church of 30 and under, or under 30. And I just turned 30 like a month ago, and I swear, the day I turned 30 and I woke up, it was a Sunday, and I was here at the church, and I was walking around, and like my knees were actually bugging me. And I couldn't help but this feeling of like, this is it. This is my life from now on. This is it. And honestly, like, we are so blessed to have the opportunity to be with the young people of this church. If you have students that I work with frequently, you have some of the best kids. I can't talk more highly of the students we have here at Canby. They're artistic, they're funny, they're athletic, they're outgoing. Some of the best servants we've ever had on worship team and other things. This church has some phenomenal youth students here. And so as we continue through the book of Luke, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 23 today. We're almost done. We're very close. It's the second to last chapter of the book of Luke, right? I got that right. Yes. I went to Bible school. It's the second to last chapter of the book of Luke, and it is the famous chapter where Jesus is taken before Pilate, before Herod. He's sentenced to death. He's beaten. He is literally killed, and then all seems lost. And it's one of the very few chapters in the Bible where you read it and you have to read the next one, or else you feel really, really bad, just really sad, kind of. And so today we're going to be looking at how Jesus is for everyone. That's the series we've been in all through the book of Luke. And when I got assigned this passage of scripture, I was really thinking about it. And I was thinking, oh, I got the one where Jesus dies. Great. How am I going to bring hope to that one? Because I didn't get the next one where all the good stuff happens, just where Jesus dies. And I was thinking, oh, man, how unlucky of me. But then I've read it a bunch of times over the last month, and I was thinking, I actually got the best chapter in the book of Luke. And because in this chapter, we see most clearly how Jesus specifically is for everyone. And how he can be for anyone and everyone all the time. I love this chapter because this is why we have four gospels, right? Because we get to see Jesus' story told through four different perspectives and for four different groups of people and four different times that they were written. And Luke, we have who's the physician, the doctor, who's very analytical, who gives us every detail, even the details we didn't know we wanted, he gives it to us. And this telling of Jesus' death, we really do get all the details. And so the first thing we should take from this morning is that we don't get to pick and choose who we represent Jesus to. This is not a choice we make. We don't have the opportunity to decide who is good enough or who has been nice enough to receive the gift of Jesus. That's not up to us. Whether it be that coworker who's always just the worst, I have a few of those here at the church. I don't. I shouldn't make jokes like that. But Mark Smith, that guy, I tell you what, he's great. He's great. Or maybe it's a family member who just always maybe annoys you. If anyone's watching, I don't have any of those. I love you all. Or maybe it's a simple someone who's not even like in your social circle, so why bother? We do not get to distinguish who gets Jesus and who doesn't. Church, Jesus, we say Jesus for everyone because Jesus was for everyone. And we have many examples of Jesus breaking social norms to show that he truly was for everyone. I think a lot of the things he did on purpose just to get the point across. We have in the book of John, the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. We have Jesus dining with tax collectors constantly, rescuing prostitutes, saving them from their sin, and talking to these people that most people wouldn't bother giving the light of day to. And today we're going to look at a few more and how we have access to the same freedom that Jesus brought to these people. So we're looking at three individuals, say, out of the book of Luke chapter 23, who Jesus encountered on this last day of his life and what he was able to do for them and how he's able to bring them freedom and how he was truly able to show that he really was Jesus for everyone. And the first man we're going to look at is this man named Barabbas. And it's going to be an example of freedom from our physical. And church, I'll be honest, Barabbas, I used to view him, I grew up in the church, so I'm like one of those kids who, I actually grew up in this church, fun fact, if you didn't know. And I grew up reading the Bible somewhat frequently, probably not as much as I should, but I remember whenever I read this story as like a younger kid or even as a teenager, I was always like, oh, that Barabbas, I can't believe that guy. Like, he gets off free. Like, they choose Barabbas over Jesus. How dare they? Barabbas always used to make me so frustrated and upset because, like, he got, like, the freedom Jesus should have had. And I'd always get just so, so upset whenever I read about Barabbas. Because he practically interrupts the story of Jesus' death. We have Jesus coming. He gets pulled in. He gets sent to Pilate. Pilate sends him away. Or as we like to call Pilate in our household, Pilate sometimes. Especially when, like, we've talked to Liam about the Bible every now and then, and we're like, Pilate. It's a funner name. He wasn't a nice guy. It's fine. But Barabbas interrupts the story of Jesus. Jesus gets sent to Herod. Herod sends him back to Pilate. And then Pilate's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this guy. He seems like a legit guy. He seems innocent. We'll bring in this guy Barabbas. And it just seems so out of nowhere that Barabbas comes into the story of Jesus' last day. And because Barabbas was close to Jesus's, like he was, sorry, he was as close to Jesus' opposite as we can get. And I'm going to read out of Luke chapter 23, verses 13 through 24. So if you have your Bibles, you can follow along. Or I think it'll be up on the screens behind me as well. This is what it says. It says, Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, you brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him, and in your presence have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him. But the whole crowd shouted, away with this man, release Barabbas to us. Barabbas had been thrown into prison for insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, crucify him, crucify him. For the third time he spoke to them, why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and I'll release him. But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. And see, church, I made assumptions about Barabbas that the Bible does not give me the freedoms to make. All we know about him was he was arrested at some point for insurrection and for murder, and then he was released from prison because the people would rather have seen him go free than Jesus go free. Barabbas is never mentioned again. We don't know what happened to him or what life he chose to live after this moment. But what we do know about him is that he was just like every single one of us, is that he was someone in need of saving. Barabbas was a man whose life was coming to an end. I don't know if you know this, but Romans didn't take too kindly to people leading insurrections against them. They had a pretty firm stance on, hey, we're in charge, and if you question that, we don't like it. We're going to stop you. They didn't take kindly to insurrections and murders, and Barabbas was headed to be crucified, if not that day, someday soon. Jesus literally saved his physical life, and Barabbas went on to live while Jesus went on to die. And without Jesus, Barabbas, church, he was a dead man. Without Jesus, we are just empty shells. Dead already. And Jesus gave new life to Barabbas. Now, what he did with his new life is up to him, but Jesus provided a way for him anyways because Jesus was for everyone. Jesus provided a way for even Barabbas to have freedom. Even the murdering insurrectionist. So now I love Barabbas, by the way. I used to not like him, but now I'm like, I have a lot more in common with Barabbas than I realized. And I had a lot of the same needs that Barabbas had. And now whenever I read through these chapters, I always stop and think about Barabbas. And see, the Father had to give Jesus the treatment that Barabbas deserved so that Barabbas could get the treatment that he didn't deserve. The treatment that Jesus deserved, which was freedom. Without Jesus, our lives are doomed to one ending. With Jesus, our lives are given a new purpose. And we're giving a new life every single day. Imagine being before an angry crowd of people every morning when you wake up and God is saying, set that man free, I'll take his place. Or set that woman free, I'll take her place. And that's how we start every day, is with a brand new freedom. And so church, what do people say about our lives? Matthew 7:16 tells us that you will know a tree by its fruit. You'll know a tree is good or healthy if it's bearing fruit. If it's not, there's something wrong with the roots. When people say we act gratefully or gracefully with our new lives, do we show our new purpose to love God with all that we are and to love people like we love ourselves by the way we treat other people, by the way we choose to live our lives? Or are we just ungrateful for the new life we're given every day? And I'm as guilty as this as anyone else, so don't assume I'm up here pointing any fingers. Are we grateful for the new life we've been given? We don't know if Barabbas was or not, but we do know that he was given it just like everyone else. And through Jesus, it's only through Jesus that we get that kind of freedom. The second guy we're going to look at is Mr. Pilate himself, and how we can have freedom from our circumstances. And Pilate found himself in a very tough spot. Okay, he was known for his brutality. He was very good at solving problems or dispute with violence. He became governor of the region because he was good at solving problems. You don't become governor in a Roman province if you're not good at controlling situations. And he was known for his ability to quell rebellions and put things down, but he was also known for using excessive force. He was governor. We do know he was governor for about 10 years until eventually he was called back to Rome, ironically enough, to stand trial for some of his bad things that he did. And after years of handling things his way, he had gotten quite this bad reputation. I didn't think I was going to struggle with that word today. Well, and not long after Jesus' death, yes, he goes back to Rome. So, and to be fair, we'll say this. Pilate wasn't ruling over like the most understanding, nice people in the world. He was ruling over a group of people who had for thousands of years been told they were God's chosen people and that God's kingdom would be established there and that was their land. And when Rome was occupying it, the Jewish people obviously felt like the Romans were in conflict or the opposite of what God had said. And so they weren't very kind to the ruling Roman people who chose to step in. So Pilate didn't have the easiest job or the easiest governorship in the world. It's not like he was in Rome where the people loved him. But what we see here with Jesus is that when he handles Jesus' trial, he handles it with a lot more grace. He handles it with a lot more understanding. And at one point, as we saw with Barabbas, he tries three times to say, I really want to release this Jesus guy. Can we please release him, not Barabbas? And everyone's like, no, we don't want Jesus. And Matthew, I want to read from Matthew for this account of Pilate and his interaction and what happened here. In verses 27, or Matthew 27, verses 17, it says this. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus, Barabbas, or Jesus who was called the Messiah? For he knew it was out of self-interest that they handed Jesus over to them. When Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him a message. Don't have anything to do with this innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas to have Jesus executed. Which of these two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they shouted. What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah? Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. And again we hear, why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. And when Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It's your responsibility. All the people answered, his blood is on us and our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, and he had Jesus flogged and handed them over to be crucified. I'm sorry. We see here, Pilate was even willing on this day to push back against the Jewish people, but without force. This problem, I can't assume, but it could have been one of the very first times Pilate didn't use force. And here we see Pilate being reasonable. And when we encounter Jesus, he causes us to change, church. I'm not saying maybe it was Jesus and Jesus' presence here, but he causes us to rise above our circumstances, Jesus does, and our usual way of doing things. Our lives are no longer all about us and how we can get what we need or how we can get what we want, but now our lives are now all about him and others first. Church, there are certain situations or scenarios and circumstances that are just out of our control. And Jesus gives us the opportunity to have freedom from our circumstances, whatever they may be, whether it's circumstances we find ourselves in because of the choices we've made, or circumstances we find ourselves in because of choices we haven't made but that we are completely out of our control. I'm sorry. I didn't plan on sharing this story this morning, but I asked my wife just a few minutes ago if I could, because I had a different story to share, but it just didn't seem like it fit as well. If you know my wife, she's 38 weeks pregnant right now, which is hallelujah, amen. Our daughter's probably due any day. We keep joking that she's going to come at like noon today when I get off the stage. But it was a long road to get where we are, and there's a lot of things that were out of our control to get us here. Before we started working here in September 2019, our son had just turned two, and we really wanted another child very badly, and we thought, let's have another one. But we, over the next about year and a half, had a bunch of circumstances that were out of our control that we could not have seen coming. And we had, over the course of about, I think just over a year, we had gone through about three miscarriages. And I think that was probably the hardest this last year. September 2019 through September 2020 was probably one of the hardest years I think we've ever had. And it was a year filled with tests of faith, a year filled with, can we keep trusting? Can we keep putting our hands in Jesus's, laying our hands at Jesus's feet and saying, we still trust you with this? Because we went through a lot. We learned a lot. We tried a lot of things our own way. And that didn't work. We did all the vitamins, teas, things you can think of to try and help stop what was happening, but nothing was working. And we reached the end of our rope in September of last year. And it seems like so long ago, but it really wasn't that long ago. And we just said, you know what, we're done. We're not going to try anything extra special, extra out of the ordinary anymore. We're done trying to do things our way. Where if it's your will, God, it's going to happen. And then next month, we were pregnant. And I don't tell this story to say, like, oh, all you need to do is trust God and now your problems will be solved. But what I do say is, God is definitely the God who works outside of our circumstances and the God who will step in where nothing seems like it can be done, where everything seems impossible. God comes in and says, let me show you how possible this is. And whatever circumstances you're facing, whether there are things we were born into, things we've made choices that have led us there, or things that we've just naturally stepped into, God is the God who says, hey, I don't look at what you've done, I look at where you are now. God doesn't remember our sin. God doesn't remember our past mistakes or the times when we chose to try and do it by ourselves before we actually come to God and say, hey, we need your help now. God just says, I'm glad you're here. Let's help. Let me help. And it's the most refreshing feeling to have, I'd say, as a person, when you realize that you can ask God for help. You finally ask God for help, and then help comes. And realizing that we don't have to do things on our own, that we don't have to be stuck in the circumstances we've either put ourselves in or maybe the circumstances that just naturally we are given. We don't have to be stuck in them. We don't have to stay there. God says, let me get you out of there. The last person we're gonna look at today is the thief who was put on the cross next to Jesus, and how through him we can have freedom from our sin. And this last man today is he's more famous for a reason. He's one of the very few people on this last day who actually does it right, does something right. And what he did not fully understand what he was doing or what was available to him. I'm going to read out of Luke 23, verses 35 through 43, if you're following along. It says this, it says, the people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others, let him save himself. If he is God's Messiah, the chosen one, the soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was written a notice above him which read, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, saying, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him, saying, don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, but for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. And I love this because just like Barabbas, no one is too far gone. No one has done too much for Jesus to look at them in the eye and say, I love you. Let me help. I love you. Let me save you. This man got it. I love this as a kid, and today I still read it the same way as I did with a kid, because I was always like, this guy's good. Like, he understood. He didn't fully understand what was available to him when he asked Jesus to remember him when he entered his kingdom. He thought he was too far gone and too close to the end to be saved. But his faith in those last moments was all it took, church. And I think a big misconception is that freedom and even the miraculous move of God or anything else can happen for someone else, but not for us. Like, not them, but not for me. We have the faith, but what we lack is the execution. We have the faith that it can happen, but we don't think it can happen for us. And this man sold himself a little bit short. But good thing for him and good thing for all of us that God is the God who fills in the gaps, and that Jesus is the Son of the God who fills in, who bridges the gap for us. Jesus is really good at filling gaps. I suggest we let him. This man received freedom from all of his sin and all his shame. And church, that's available freely to each and every one of us as well, every single day. So how do we lift out Jesus for everyone? We offer what Jesus offered. We offer freedom. Jesus brought what we all needed. Whether we realize it or not, we all needed freedom in some shape or some form, whether it's freedom from our physical, from circumstances, from our sin, or any other thing in our life we need freedom from. Jesus came to bring freedom to all of it. And all these people that Jesus interacted with on this last day of his life represented some part of each and every one of us. We all have needed freedom from areas in our lives where we couldn't escape on our own. Jesus provides physical freedom where the world would say, there's nothing we can do. Where doctors might say, there's nothing more we can do, Jesus provides physical freedom. Where there's limitations that we have physically, Jesus, the world says, hey, there's nothing you can do about it. Jesus says, hey, let me give you freedom there. Jesus gives us freedom from our circumstances that the world would say, this is who you are, why bother changing? That's one of my least favorite phrases, why bother? Where the world would say, this is who you are, you just need to accept it, you're not going to get any better, or you can't get out of who like this cycle of sin, or this cycle of shame, or this cycle of what you were born into. Jesus, the world says, why bother change? Jesus says, hey, let me help you. And Jesus is the only one who looks at us and says, I love you despite our sin and the wrong we have committed, when the world says, shame on you. Jesus never looks at us and says, shame on you. He looks at us and he says, I love you. And it's pretty simple, church. Do we want to live in freedom or bondage? Do we want to be moving forward or be stuck in stagnation? Do we want freedom or judgment? These principles don't stop here this morning for us here at Canby Forest Square Church. They apply to every single one of us and also every single person we interact with today. Where we have freedom, so others deserve freedom as well. And we can't just be a people that hear a good message or a good sermon on Sunday and then go and get in our car and leave and go back to our normal lives. God's church is called to be set apart and called to be different, amen? Jesus is for everyone. And we need to realize what is at stake for everyone. There's a sign in our youth building, and it was there when I was hired and got here, and I love it. It's one of my favorite signs I've ever seen. But we have it hanging up in the youth building. It just says, eternity is at stake. And it's what's at stake for each and every leader that we have serving in the youth ministry and for all of our students and all of our students' friends and family. But this is truly what's on the line. Every single day is eternity. For all of us. For that coworker. Mark, I'm looking at you. Just kidding. What can we do? Church, start a conversation. Make an effort. Pursue relationships and then change someone's world. Nowadays, it's no longer as easy to just shout from the mountaintops about how good God is and people say, yeah, you're right, he is good. Nowadays, it's all about how can I start a conversation? How can I make an effort with someone? Help someone see that I care about them so I can build a relationship with them and then tell them about Jesus. This is kind of the new formula for spreading the word of God. Yeah, we can talk about Jesus all day long, but until people feel a real connection with us, until people realize that we're really genuinely caring about them as a person, Jesus doesn't mean a whole lot. In a day and age where we can look on our phones and find the history of Jesus on some website that's either good for Jesus or saying that he was fake, it's way more than just saying Jesus is good. We have to show that Jesus is good now more than ever. Start a conversation, make that effort. Build a relationship with someone and change someone's world. Bring freedom with you where you go. Don't bring judgment. We can't bring hate and discernment. It can only happen through freedom and love of Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for the example that you gave in Luke 23 where we see people that you interacted with. Lord, some people who got it, some people who didn't. Lord, some people who needed something very specifically from you on a day where you were giving everything of yourself and you still gave things to these people. Lord, where you could have easily just been all about what you needed to do, And the sacrifice you were making, Lord, you still chose on this day to change people's worlds, not just by dying for our sins, Jesus, but by providing freedom to specific people and specific areas of people's lives, Lord. We are so grateful for you. God, I pray that today this would stick in our hearts and our minds. Lord, that we wouldn't walk out of this building saying, that was a good word, and letting it stop there, Lord. I pray that we'd walk out of this building or leave our homes today and say, God, that was great. How can I put this into practice in my life, Lord? How can I bring freedom to someone, that coworker, a family member, a friend, or just the person I talk to on the street? How can I do that, Lord? Help us to have these conversations, Lord. Help us to hear from you and how we can do that specifically for us as individuals, Lord, and for your church and for your people and your kingdom, Lord. Guide us, strengthen us for such a task. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.